Hi, and welcome.
I'm Z.
And I'm Keith.
And we're going to tell you about the movie that we just watched. But first, a little bit of a heads up.
Some of the movies we watched deal with heavy subject matters.
In order to talk about these emotionally delicate things and the heavy subject matters that we sometimes cover, we add humor and crude language to add some levity and to process our own trauma.
If that doesn't feel fun or safe for you, we completely understand. Please take care of yourself first and foremost.
And we spoil the end of pretty much every movie that we watch.
Now you know. On with the show. Ready to go on record saying I fucking hate chickens. And honestly, it's not their fault.
No, I know. You're just mean.
It's mostly white people.
I get that.
The root of all evil.
My dad worked on a chicken farm when I was a kid, and we lived on that chicken farm when I was a little kid.
And this is the first time I'm hearing of it.
I don't believe it is. I think you just forgotten.
No, you never tell me anything.
I mean, that's fair. Speaking of chicken farms.
So, más o menos. I'm trying to remember the order. So, in the trivia for this film, it says you like the cop movie that she's working on is a reference to Carrie Fisher working on Hollywood Vice Squad.
Yeah.
Not a movie I've heard of, but now I got to watch.
Right, yeah.
And then it also states that Gene Hackman was basing his characterization on Richard Donner, director of The Omen and Superman.
Okay, that makes sense. Because he would know him personally, because he was...
So then I was like, ooh, can I figure out what film that was?
Right, I was trying to see, like...
It doesn't seem to correlate to anything. But I did see that Richard Donner worked on a movie called Night Moves. No, not Night Moves. Inside Moves.
Okay.
Which I'm like, yeah, that sounds familiar. Like, whatever. It's about drunks at a bar. Based on a novel by Todd Walton, whom was one of the teachers at the California State Summer School of the Arts for creative writing, which I attended in 1991. I was like, oh, right. I forgot. This was his big thing. He had a novel that was turned into a movie.
Wow. 6 degrees of separation.
And I had totally forgotten about it. That was very important for, like, at least 10 years of my life.
Then. Yeah.
But I've never seen the movie or read the novel. I have, I think, somewhere another one of Todd Walton's novels called, I believe, Night Train. And it is signed. So you want to talk about circles fucking a snake with their tail.
Yeah. What did H. Bomber Guy said?
Yeah, the way you said Ouroboros was...
very interesting, but... You know, yeah. I mean,
I actually always want to say Ouroboros.
Yes, he said.
But I never managed to do it.
Yeah.
It's like Oppenheimer.
I never, right. Oppenheimer.
Meine Deutsche ist nicht sehr gut.
You really liked my Australian accent yesterday.
I did. It wasn't just the accent, which was solid.
Thank you.
I do love it when you do a down under accent, period.
I felt like I was channeling a little more Kiwi than I was intending to, but...
I feel like it's easier to do for me personally. But I'm not good. I'm not claiming to be good at either.
Yeah, someone that I follow on Instagram, I believe. I believe they said that a Kiwi accent does like
yeah, it goes up a lot.
Goes
more.
Up at the end of it like goes up everything.
All the time, yeah, exactly.
At the and that's basically the difference between an Australian accent and a Kiwi accent.
Yeah. Well, and there's a little difference in the vowels. Like this is what I for myself. Yeah, I always tell myself the vowel sounds are all I sounds.
Yeah.
Like, eh.
Yeah.
This is one vowel sound.
It's like they're smaller. That it's too. Like
yeah, shorter.
Yeah. And I feel like with Australian, I watched a little clip of Steve Irwin yesterday just being R.I.P. yeah, being ridiculous. He was talking about the first time he like met his wife. And he's so ridiculous. Like I think the thing that's great about Steve Irwin is that like he like there wasn't any sort of I don't think he knew how to be fake.
Yeah.
Which is why people like
probably spectrum-y.
Right. Oh my God. Had to be. Like there's like a he would like cry when he was talking about when he would talk about like, you know, crocodiles and shit. You know, there's no way. But yeah, like there's a lot of him doing this, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But with
there's also more than one kind of Australian accent. Well,
yes,
accent.
Yes. I think
you wouldn't know it.
I think Peach PRC is a little bit does a great example of like not having a, you know.
She's Australian.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She's Aussie. And yet I love her. Like, you know that I love her because she's an Aussie. I don't dislike Australian people. It's just, I feel like
but there's, it is a disability.
There's just, I feel like like people will be like, oh, I feel like Australia is like just rednecks with a little bit of a different inflection in their voice. And
this is about accent or cultural?
Both. Both.
Accent and or cultural?
People will be like, rednecks suck, but Australians are great, but they live exactly. I'm like, y'all, stop. They're not.
Yeah, as I stated before, I don't know if I said it on mic, but I have a silly, not based in much, kinship feeling for the Aussies.
Yeah, no, but see, that's fine. That's fine. Because you're acknowledging why.
Yeah.
Not, but like people be like, oh, you know, they're so fancy. And I'm like, they're so fancy. No.
No. And that's what I like about them. They're like, I mean, it's one of those things and it's history of, it's colonialism, yes, obviously.
Absolutely.
But like, you know, U.S., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, you know, like all the down unders where white people colonized.
Correct.
You know, I feel like we're all cousins or sibs and the way I, you know, in the US, at least the way I feel like the media we've gotten about Australia, which I should learn the indigenous name for, is what Americans think they are.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Or I feel like it's, yeah, I don't know. It's looking through a mirror darkly.
Anyway. I just, before we move on to talk about the actual
in Canada
film,
is just like everything wrong with middle class white Americans.
Yeah. I once met when I lived in Vegas, I would do this. My best friend at the time, Marissa, we would go. We didn't drink. We didn't do any sort of.
What do you do?
Exactly. And so we would just go to the strip and we would usually get Starbucks. You should beep that out. And
hey, BDS guys.
Then we would just walk the strip and then
fuck with folks.
Well, sometimes we would fuck with folks. Sometimes we would just make fun of everyone and be absolute terrors.
Yeah.
But Okay. I mean, like the time it was, I know people get horrified when I say this, but it's truly one of my favorite memories where I bought Marissa for her birthday. I bought her a bottle of fake blood. And so she just put it in her purse and we walked down the strip and she just put fake blood in her hand and high-fived people. And usually people would stop before they got to actually touching her hand because they'd be like, whoa, 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 what's in your hand? You know, they'd see that. Because also she would normally just high-five people and it would kill me. She'd be like, hey, how's it going? And just high-five strangers. Killed me. Yeah. Absolutely slayed me. I don't know why. Yeah. Like she would just walk up to people and be like, what's up? How's it going? Like, you, like,
been?
Yeah. And I would just be like pissing myself laughing and people would be like, oh, I don't get the joke. And like the joke is she would just talk to a stranger. Yeah, right. And that was funny to me. And like, she actually did make contact with one person and they were like, what the fuck? And we just took off. We were like, anyway. So one of those nights, one of the times we met a foreigner, he was Australian and I was drinking bottled water and he was like, oh, that's a Disney. Disney. And I always think of that as how I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, Dasani. He's like, that's how you say it. I'm like, yeah. Disney.
Disney. Well, that Disney. Sounds New Zealand.
I know, but I can't do it exactly the same because it's been like 15 years. But yeah. Anyway, this movie, I thought this movie was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Supposedly it is different than the book in that the
structurally,
mother
at least.
Yeah, the mother's character is not really in the book as much.
Yeah,
they said like she has like
10 pages
or less than 10 pages, something like that. So that's really interesting.
Also, it's less directly autobiographical than I thought.
Yeah,
for whatever that's worth.
It's interesting that I thought it was really good, and I ended up like I was like tearing up at the end because it was so, it felt like, well, I think what's crazy about it is even though it's a comedy and even though there's so you know, it's like it's about like it feels very self-aware in that there's at no point does she, because
yeah,
she's sort of, it gets pointed out to her all the time that she comes from privilege,
right,
and she's completely privileged and yet she's still choosing to fuck up her life.
Right.
And there at no point does she like argue that.
Correct.
She's just like, yeah, and I don't feel like I have control over that.
Right.
Trouble with you, you've had it too easy and you don't even know it.
No. I do know
you
it. Know,
you're not going to get a lot of sympathy from anybody. You know that? You know how many people give their right arm to be in show business, to lead the kind of life that you lead?
I know, but the trouble is I can't feel my life. I can't feel it. I see it all around me, and I know that so much of it is good. But I just take it the wrong way. It's like this thing with my mother. I know that she does all this stuff because she loves me, but I just can't believe it.
And I feel like that's such an important thing, especially talking about like addiction, talking about, you know, things that are not within your control, like depression, anxiety, like, like chemical imbalances in your brain. Fucking, like, you know, isn't she like bipolar too? Wasn't Carrie Fisher like diagnosed? I
guess there's a reference to that in the trivia that, also Richard Dreyfuss.
Right. I was like, oh, okay. but like, I just mean like, you know, that was just a sort of an aside,
yeah,
but like
right.
Those kinds of things, like those aren't anything that you control. Like you don't
right.
have control over like how your body forms, like any kind of disability is just, that's what you have. And like, I think it's really important.
Well, there's also this, you know, like,
I think it's important to say, like, sorry, I can be super privileged and it doesn't make me immune.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and it doesn't mean like you're more deserving or less deserving or anything like that. It just means that you aren't immune. And that's, and I thought it was really cool that there was no sort of like, I, you know, like, oh, I'm not as privileged as anyone. There didn't seem to be any of that.
Yeah, because we've seen that movie where like
the person
takes no accountability.
Exactly, right. And it didn't,
just a victim.
Right, yeah. Anyway, that was just like, you know.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's a good point.
But the end made me cry because like it was very realistic in that it felt like nothing got resolved.
Yeah, not really. Like,
and it felt like the same thing. It was just like sort of, because I mean, I don't mean this in a defeatist way or in a shitty way, but sometimes like when you just don't have parents or a parent or whatever who are understanding of your position, sometimes you have to just let go trying to make a point, you know, right. And that's what the ending felt like to me, is more like,
yeah, that's as close as an acknowledgement
from, you know, her mom, like her mom being like, my mom never understood me. And it's just being like, and I mean, the Gene Hackman's whole thing, it's like, that also made me cry when he was like, you know, your mom did it because of her mom and her mom because of her mom. And it just keeps going. He's like, why don't you start with you? And like break that. And I was like, fuck, man.
Yeah, that's my favorite line that, that character gets.
And I love that she's like, did you just think of that? It was so.
Look, your mother did it to you, and her mother did it to her, and back and back and back all the way to Eve. And at some point, you stop it and you just say, fuck it. I start with me.
Did you just make that up?
Well, I was working on it before you came in. If you'd come a half an hour later when you're supposed to, it would have been better.
I do appreciate the character's sarcasm.
Yeah.
And like when confronted with, do you have to make everything a joke? And she's like, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the thing where I was like, I was really impressed with how like, yes, this is like, it really felt like there was a lot of like very like accurate. And I honestly didn't know Carrie Fisher wrote the screenplay. Like I didn't realize that until the end. And I was like so impressed with what was on there. Cause I was like, nothing, it seems really pointless. I mean, I will say they cut quite a few things that I think might have made it more ridiculous, but might have undercut that point I'm making. But it was just like Jerry Orbach played her dad. Was supposed to play her dad, and he like climbed a tree or something to talk. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Also, John Cusack had a character that was cut out.
Yeah, he was gonna rehab. Play a child of the Manson family something.
That's right.
I was like, what? But yeah, I think because she's not writing a story and just including, like, she's not writing a story about things she doesn't have firsthand experience with.
Right.
And that, but she's also not really using metaphors.
Right.
You know, so it's like she's talking about like
it doesn't, well, I mean, I
the
don't
absurdity
know, the
of making
like, but,
movies like people being absolutely, I mean, the part I was really, well, I was impressed with, but also I was like, it, like look at Meryl Streep when they're talking about how much she eats and how her body looks and just like absolutely just like ragging on how like fucking like they're basically like just going, she overhears the director and the costume designer or head of work, I don't really know. Just like basically like going off about how Suzanne Vale, who, you know, is the Carrie Fisher, but played by Meryl Streep, is just a fuggo who's out of shape, you know? And, like, how she eats too much and, like, all this shit and, you know, how, like, it's kind of too bad that she stopped taking drugs because then her body has really gone to shit. And just stuff like that. And I'm like, this is so awful, but this is also every internet comment now. Like, you used to overhear that shit, and now people will just say it in your comment section. And it's, like,
to your face on the
internet. So it's, like, really worse now. That's not what I mean. It's so easy. It's so easy to be like, yeah, I know what that's like. People not saying it to you, but just feeling like they have every right to completely. Ugh.
I'm always impressed with movies that, I mean, especially this far into adulthood, movies that portray a parental child dynamic where, you know, it's clear that the parent is, and especially I feel like there's a lot of films from around this time.
Yeah.
Boomers and I guess getting into Gen Xers a little bit, but not really.
Not quite,
It was mostly boomers dealing with their parents' shit. But I'm always impressed. I remember
boomers and depressioners.
Yeah, right. The greatest generation. Torch Song Trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
When people are able to depict their parents as, you know, flawed, obviously.
Yeah.
But also give that, make that, their portray a parent as a whole person. With their own fucking baggage. And, you know, like, it's not just, because it's so easy. I mean, as much as I, you know, cared about my mom, and, like, I don't know that I would be able to write a character based on her that was fair. And also the detail in, like, I'm always impressed with dialogue when it's like, you know, I don't need it to be, like, factual, you know what I mean? But like the conversation, there's the scene where
in postcards
okay. where I think it's the first time she comes home late.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Mom's been up all night drinking, and that conversation.
Why did you turn away from me? I just want you to like me. I just want to be your friend,
Ma. Could we have this conversation in the morning? Oh. I'm very tired.
Every time I try to get close to you, you push me away. How would you like to have Joan Crawford for a mother?
Oh, or Lana please.
Turner?
These are the options.
I think you had it pretty good.
You or Lana or
No,
Joan?
When I had my breakdown, I would have killed myself if it hadn't been for you.
There it is. It's just like that you say, I don't know what to do with
that. I came from nothing, and I made something out of my life. You come from somewhere, and you're trying to make nothing out of yours. I think you should just get over what happened to you in your adolescence. It is time to move on.
Anytime. Yeah, it's so... I know that this is going to sound not... It's going to sound sarcastic. But, like... The fact that there is no actual resolution between her and her mother is so important.
Yeah.
And realistic. And the fact that, like, she's having so much issue with drugs, and she's being basically, like, treated like a fucking child. Nobody trusts her and all this. And she's living with her mom, who's supposed to be the trusted person.
Yeah.
And her mom is an alcoholic.
Right.
And she, it's so amazing. Like, it ends with the mom's in the fucking hospital because she was driving drunk and got arrested, and you hear her talking to the press and they're like, what is your plan for the future? And she says, to keep drinking.
Yeah, I love that.
And I was like, wow, that is like it was so beautifully done.
Yeah.
Like, also I think I was emotional because I'm like, Carrie Fisher I love Carrie Fisher.
Right.
She was so shit on.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that she like had her comeback and was like in Star Wars, and like, I swear to God, when I was watching, because I think I saw all the Star, no, did I see? I think I saw all the Star Wars in the theater. Which, what?
The most recent ones.
Yes. Well, I should say the most recent trilogy. I didn't see fucking Solo or whatever the fuck.
Or Rogue One.
I haven't seen Rogue One, even though everyone talks about it. Everyone's built it up to the point that I'm terrified to watch it now. But it's supposed to be really good. But also I'm like, I know how it ends. And I'm gonna, anyway, whatever. So... when they're doing like the first, the title cards at the beginning, like they do with all fucking Star Wars. And I can't remember exactly what her name, I think it's like General O'Gana. I can't remember what her O'Gana. I can't remember. I cannot remember.
Oh.
Or
I think that's right.
Or something. I can't remember. I like started crying because I was like, she's a general. They made her a general and she's going to be in this. And like, they're not just like, they're not just like making her, like they're doing the thing that they should have done, where they're acknowledging that like, while she was a, you know, a royalty technically, she fought in, she knows what the fuck she's doing, and she's, and like, they go to her for like she's in control of so much in those movies, and she has, and like, I don't give a fuck. Like the Last Jedi, I don't fucking care what anyone. No. You're thinking of.
Yeah, you're right. Never mind. Go on.
The Last Jedi, people shit on that movie. That is, I think that's the best Star Wars movie I've ever seen. I fucking love it. I don't give a shit. Like that Princess Leia is floating off in space and comes back to, I don't give a shit. I loved it. Like, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, she deserves to have some ridiculous powers because, like, she never got to have that, you know? So I was like, fuck yes. Anyway, like,
yeah,
you know,
it should have ended there with that movie.
But, you know, whatever. I'm going on a Star Wars tangent. What I'm saying is,
inevitable.
She said so many things. She was always, you know, she got so much shit because she couldn't be perfect, you know, and she was, you know, too fat for people. She wasn't, you know, like,
I mean, it also seems like she was just always herself, you know, like there was no other way to be.
She
was always herself,
but she was always fucking open about stuff. Like she, you know, she was like, I was too crazy. And then I went on medication, which makes you fat. And then I was too fat. And it was like, there was always, like, she was always being completely torn apart. And like, she couldn't exist without her entire fucking life just being shredded. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like she, I can't remember when it was, but she said that her in a bikini is both every man's fantasy and worst nightmare rolled into one. Like her in that gold bikini, which I thought was so fucking funny because she means like as a youth, it was everyone's fantasy. And if she put that on now, it'd be their worst nightmare, which I don't think that's true, but like, sure. You know what I mean? Anyway, whatever. It was just like seeing that she, you know, she's so fucking talented.
Yeah.
And I feel like so much of, and I'm not saying like, obviously, you know, this got made into a movie, so it wasn't, and she wrote the movie, she wrote the book, and there was a sequel to the book and all that stuff. Yeah. So I'm not like, no one knew. That's not really what I mean, but it's like, she really wasn't as acclaimed as she should have been.
Yeah.
You know, and it's maddening a little bit, you know? And so watching this, I got like kind of emotional thinking about like, how like she's not around anymore, and that's so sad, and losing her, and like how, you know, she is a legend. And I feel like so much of her legacy, you know, is like it always is like posthumous or whatever, right. You know, like, and how, like,
what was that interview? Do you remember that interview she did? I don't know if it was in connection. I don't know if she was doing press for the Star Wars. I think it was before the Star Wars. She was back in the Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
This is her with her dog on. And
oh, I don't remember.
She was just spitting some truths.
Yeah. She, yeah.
No. Oh, forgot what I was going to say. Oh yeah, and she and her mom died in the same year. I forgot that.
Oh fuck. So
also her baby daddy, I didn't know this.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie Fisher's
baby daddy, yeah.
Ex.
Yeah.
They split up when he came out as gay.
Aw. Hot.
So BB Lord or whatever their name is.
BB Lord.
What is it?
I don't. Billy. It's just Billy. BB. I think my favorite marriage ended because their husband came out story is Fiona Shaw. Is that who it is from Killing Eve? Where her and her husband.
Came out as gay?
So her husband separated because he's gay and she married a woman. And I was like, I love that nice. Story. truly.
I hope they do couples holidays together.
Oh my God. Yeah. Anyway.
My first wife, like I don't know. I think the first person she dated after we split up came out after.
You did that.
I made him gay.
Yeah. He was like, never mind. I won't. I'm sorry.
Scorched earth. I went scorched earth. I salted those fields.
I'm trying to remember that Rocky Horror song. Like, I've touched the something and I want more. I don't know. Shit. I don't remember it. Anyway.
Vagina?
Yeah.
Yep.
that's it.
Y'all remember that?
You remember that? Hit. Rocket Horror.
You got the time warp. You got don't dream it, be it. Oh, and you got I touched the vagina.
Vagina. Yeah. I always like to say that I've slept with gay men. Yeah, like when you have the body of a twink, like gay dudes are fine with
and
having
the pipes of an old Debbie.
Yeah, they're fine with having sex with you, just because you happen to have a vagina. They're not that bothered by it. Don't let them fool you.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, I've never like, you know how they always do the whole like I never fell in love with. It was just like, oh yeah, this means nothing. We're both gay. We are not gonna. So
must,
you know,
must be nice.
It's fun. Anyway, this movie, like the plot is basically just that. I was really impressed by this because it keeps you. It keeps you interested, but it doesn't, I feel like it avoids a lot of pitfalls of like over dramatizing addiction.
Yeah.
Making it seem like when she takes the pills, like that whole thing was just so nonchalant.
Yeah.
And too I much. Fucking
yeah.
loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the things that like, that was so, yeah, I was like, yeah, it basically starts where she's on the set of a movie and she kind of fucks up a line and everyone's acting like everyone's laughing and they're like, oh, you're so, oh my God, this is so much fun. I can't believe. And then she goes into her trailer. Like, you know, they're like, okay, we're going to set up and we're going to reshoot the scene. And then they go into the trailer and then she goes into her trailer and the director is like noticing that people are like making gestures like she's going to be snorting coke or whatever. And like she goes into her trailer with someone else and then who you don't see, you don't actually, there's no acknowledgement of this person. She just goes into her trailer and this person follows her and closes the door. And like, I was really kind of impressed with that because they don't, because it's happening and you don't really, you know, it's just so nonchalant
right.
that it doesn't, you just assume she's like, she's just, oh, she must work with her or whatever, well, you know.
Dress kind of similar, so yeah. I'm like, is this a double?
Right, yeah. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, you know, maybe this is...
And it's done in an interesting... Yeah, that sequence is done in like, it's like you're figuring it out at the same time the director
right.
is.
Right, yeah. And, you know, they do like the, like her, like, I don't know, people on the cast or crew or whatever, like making like snorting coke gestures and like laughing to each other. And then she comes out and the director, who's played by Gene Hackman... He's like, hey, because he just is like, you're doing great. Like before she goes into the trailer, he's like, you're doing great. Everything you're doing is wonderful. I'm so happy to work with you. All this shit. And she comes out and he's like, you fuck up my movie and I'm going to kill you. And she's like, what? And he's like, don't fucking, he's like, don't do this shit. Like, this is like, he just like reams into her. You can roll the clip. Oh, fuck. And
roll that beautiful bean.
Clip. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
I don't care what you do to your body on your time, but this is my time, my movie. And I don't intend to have some spoiled, selfish, coked up little actress ruin my movie. I expect you to pull yourself together and work with us these last couple of days, or I'll kill you. I'll kill you before you kill yourself, and I'll do a better job because you're so out of it. You probably even botch that up.
And then he goes up to the girl that brought her drugs, and he's like, hey, what's your name? And she's like, Nicole, or whatever her fucking name is. And he's like, if you ever come on my set, he's like, if you ever show up on my set again, I'm going to drop a dime on you. Yeah. He's like, I want to have you. I don't know. He just goes off on it. He's like, I never want to see you again. He's like, get the fuck off my set. And, the next scene,
because he assumes she provided
she obviously, you know, you're assuming she brought her the cocaine or whatever,
well,
the drugs.
He definitely assumes that.
So the next scene, it like immediately cuts to like a scene where like she's just in bed with someone. I love the scene though. He's like coughing for so fucking long. And I was
this
like,
this is this thing where it transitions on because the movie set is shot near the ocean. And yeah. It transitions from that beach to
a different, yeah.
This other one. And then it's a slow pan with Dennis Quaid coughing the whole fucking time. Like from out the window, shot of the ocean into the balcony, slow panning through the whole fucking house.
Beautiful. Fucking beautiful. I loved it. And he's just coughing and then it stops on him and he just keeps coughing for so fucking long. And I assumed...
I slept under an elephant's foot or something.
Yeah, something like that. And I assume that he's coughing trying to get her to wake up is essentially what he's doing. That's what I thought at first, but I couldn't tell because he's just like, okay, yeah. he's like shaking her and like she's not waking up and then it's obvious that she's like overdosed. And so he takes her to the hospital and thus... starts her recovery. Rehab. She gets, it's not really self-imposed, like she's out cold for a while and she gets put into rehab. So it's like, yeah, so she doesn't
CCH pounder.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. CCH pounder doing everything she can to sound not British.
She British?
Yeah.
Shut up.
No, what? Yes.
God damn it. Fuck me.
I think so. Am I wrong?
Idris Elba.
Let me double check. Now I feel like I'm wrong. God. Now I got scared suddenly.
Not another Alex Kingston.
Oh my God. Fucking Alex Kingston, honestly. That one's hard for me. Keith was convinced that Alex Kingston was...
Is black.
Well, yeah. Jamaican. You thought she was like Jamaican or whatever.
Because her last name's Kingston. The capital of Jamaica.
Oh, I actually don't know if she's... Well... It says she's an American actress, but...
Guyanese American.
Yeah. She was born in British...
Guyana.
Yeah. She was raised on a sugar plantation. Wow. That her father managed. Anyway. She's probably one of those... Misha Barton's that just has one of those, the little girl from Lawn Dogs, where their accent is always sounds like they're not trying to sound British because
Hugo Weaver. What?
Hugo Weaver.
That's how he sounds to me.
Oh, okay.
And he never sounds Australian.
That's funny.
Same with Sam Neill, even though he's cute. So.
Never know where. That's my
fucking. Wait, what's that from?
That's from The Piano.
Oh, that's right.
When
they're fucking the trees.
When, yeah, she's like humping a tree and he grabs her and he says, never know where. I fucking love that. I don't know why. Because that's all he says to her. He doesn't say, like, stop that. He just says, never know where. Anyway. Yeah, whatever. CCH Pounder is she's not like her. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, she is her. Wait, is
she's
she?
The intake
yeah,
person.
She is. She is. Yeah, she's her like therapy person. Anyway, so it's like.
Oh yeah, what is? I'm unclear on what that. The next scene with her. What is that event?
Oh, I'm assuming
is it like
it's.
Some kind of
yeah, I think it's
talent
like
talent night or something.
No, no, I think it's. It was like. Discussions like you talk with your like significant other or family member about your addiction or about like things like that. So okay. I'm assuming it was not someone just acting.
That's really what I thought it was. I thought they were doing a scene.
No, I don't think so.
I just feel like if I don't do what you want, you're gonna leave me or punish me.
All right, let's stop there for the day. Good work, Carol. Good work, Carol. Okay, everybody, before we go, I'd like to introduce a newcomer, Suzanne, who's just out of detox. Hi, Suzanne. Weren't your parents supposed to be here tonight?
Huh? My mother, you mean? Mm-hmm. No, my mother's working. She's coming if she can.
I think we should all visit with our significant others for a few minutes.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
What you're saying makes total sense.
No, I know.
Because what I thought didn't quite make sense.
What I'm saying is I think you were supposed to feel like suddenly overwhelmed by it.
Ah.
Because that's probably how you would feel
being
in that situation. You know, like, because it cuts from her, like, being in the hospital to suddenly someone's crying and being like, I feel like you don't trust me and, like, you're going to leave me if I'm not. And so you don't really know what's going on. But I think that evokes, like, how something like that would feel.
Yeah.
Because you're not necessarily going to know someone else's trauma, like, on your first therapy day or whatever. So you're going to walk in, they're going to be, like, crying and talking about things. You're going to be like, I don't know what's going on, you know. So, anyway.
And the thing is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump us ahead in the plot, if you want to.
No, I was just going to say that there's not a lot of time at rehab, just a little bit, you know, and then it jumps to her getting offered a job. You know, she's an actor, so She gets offered a job, but like there are strict rules around it. Like she has to live with her mother.
Yeah.
In order to be in the film, because she has to live with someone that's like a trusted, you know, yeah. adult. And then
because of insurance.
Right. No, no, no. It doesn't say because of insurance. That they have to, they drug test her because of insurance is what they say. I thought. Or was it both?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where like the producers want a guarantee, and that's part of
yeah.
that is. And did you see this? Mm-hmm. Cuz this is directed by Mike Nichols, mm-hmm. whose previous film was Working Girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, what's funny is like Carrie Fisher wrote the script and they're like, this film could possibly be about. I'm like, or like I don't think Carrie Fisher was like, hey, Mike Nichols, tell me your story
I'm sure they compared notes.
Yeah,
you
know maybe. What I mean? Yeah, but like, I mean, but it.
Well, it could be like, if nothing else, it could be his motivation for
wanting to do it. Yeah. For sure, that's fine. But the way it was.
I know. The trivia is worded as though.
Yeah.
It was all him.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Given that, also, there's a trivia about that there were rehearsals with actors before anything was cast.
Interesting.
To work out the script.
Oh, wow.
So I'm assuming, and it's Mike Nichols did that, and that's how Annette Bening ended up in it, is that she was one of the readers.
Oh.
But I assume that was done, it doesn't say this, but I assume that Carrie Fisher was involved in that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Involves a screenplay.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I like that. And given, like, hearing, like, Sigourney Weaver and people talk about working with him on Working Girl, like,
yeah.
He seems to be a very collaborative director.
But, yeah, like, so she lives with her mother, and then, like, they're drug testing her and shit like that, and, you know, she has this sort of romance, like, Dennis Quaid shows back up, and I loved all of that because he was such a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But it's like so accurate. Like there's mm-hmm. a scene where she's like when she finds out that he was like hooking up with someone else the day he professed his love to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, it's not the fact that you did it. You know, so it's the fact that you weren't honest. And like, and he's like, she's like, you could have had fun. Like, you could have had your fun, and then it would be fine, but you had to lie about it, you know? And then he's like, women always say this. So they're like, you know, you could have, you know, it's not that you're doing this. It's that you lied about it. It's not that, you know, you left. It's that you know, like all this shit. And then he's like, but then he's like, well, the truth is that I am going to fuck around, and I am going to leave.
Right.
And I was like, that's so, it's so beautiful because like.
And we did hook up on that first night.
Right. Well, yeah. But like what I liked about it was that like. She was right in that whole argument. Right. And he was so. Like. He was so shitty. And was like. I just feel like it was a very good representation of something like that. Like he was so like, I have every right to want to have fun or whatever. And she's like, right, but that's not why I'm mad. I'm mad because you lied to me and you made me think of a scenario was happening that wasn't.
Yeah. Right.
And then he's like, why are you acting like you're my wife? You know? And he was like, are you breaking up with me? And she was like, no, we had to be together for me to break up with you. And he was like, well, you're acting like my wife. And I'm like, this is so, because he's
like,
both.
You're acting like a whore.
Yeah. But what I loved about it is he's both like saying like, I don't want you to break up with me.
Right.
But you're acting like we're together.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is so good. I don't know. It was just, what I liked about it again is that it felt like a very real thing that would happen.
Yeah.
But she was also like, I'm setting a boundary and I don't want this, you know, and she was taking care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And there
he
wasn't.
Takes advantage of her
yeah.
vulnerability.
And, yeah.
Manipulates.
Right. And she's pissed about that. And I'm like, I like it because he's there's never a scene or there's never a moment where he's like owning what he did. It's always it's right. always her fault. No matter what it is, it's her fault.
Right.
And she's not like, she's just like, oh my God, this is so bad for me and I'm out of here. And I love that she shoots at him.
Oh yeah, that was really good.
That was really good. But yeah, and then
although
I know we now know that
the prop master should not have let that leave the set.
Well, the prop master should not have let that leave the set. Also, we know that blanks can kill.
Yep. R.I.P. Brandon Lee. Isn't that how he died?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, but I forgot. Two, I thought you were going to say R.I.P. Alec Baldwin, because you like saying R.I.P. to people who aren't dead. It's one of your favorite tropes.
That's true, I do.
One of your favorite Called tropes. Out. What I mean by that is one of your favorite jokes. Tropes for jokes.
It's a trope. It's a trope of mine.
Your trope. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. What do you recommend?
Yeah. I think, because this is one, I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah.
And nothing felt familiar about it except for the scenes that
yeah
were like in the trailer maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one you talked about where her being on
yeah.
the...
Yeah.
So funny. I think I was expecting to be a little more wild. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
And I was thinking while watching it and since the, like, I think for contemporary audience, we've had a lot more, you know, it's also a lot more instantaneous that you get things come out about actors and their
yeah.
personal lives yeah, yeah, yeah. and when shit goes bad, it's all a lot more yeah. accessible now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which can't be fun if you're in the business,
yeah.
So I can see this would have been a lot more impactful at the time that it came out, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, because there hadn't been, I mean, I know there's more than these films.
Right,
but
right,
like,
right.
Mommy Dearest, you know, like, uh-huh. one of the things that happens is her mom says, at least your mom wasn't Joan Crawford or Lana yeah. Turner.
Yeah.
You know? So, those kinds of things, you know? It's not a new,
mm-hmm.
and certainly Hollywood has always made films about itself.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think, again, for this time period, this sort of generation of which she has none, you know, it would have been, or, you know, and like, I was reading the Wikipedia on it, it, like, at the time it got compared to Less Than Zero.
Oh, wow.
Which is... I don't know. I've never seen it, but
yeah.
like just because it involves drugs and Southern California. And
yeah, nonsensical. There's nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, let's not compare.
Andrew McCarthy isn't in this movie, so they're nothing alike.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, I was thinking about the walk-ons or what are the cameos.
I know. Ridiculous.
It wasn't too much.
Yeah, but it was.
It's almost distracting. It's
yeah.
But I thought the casting was done pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss is the only one, and that's just because I don't like him.
Yeah, nobody, yeah. Nobody likes Richard Dreyfuss.
He always feels
like
a sore thumb.
He always feels like a bitch.
Yeah. A bipolar bitch.
Yeah, I
him being a sleazy, kind of creepy doctor.
I don't understand how he was supposed to be the guy that, like, she ends up, like, that's supposed to be, like, the guy that she, you know, the bookend or whatever. Yeah.
Well, apparently in the book, she's like, that happens, but then she's like, I probably shouldn't have given him my number to
yeah.
the guy who's pumped my stomach.
Yeah. I do, another thing I really liked that, again, felt very accurate is when it's the day where, it's like her second day on set. And the director tells her that the producers, like, don't like what
she's
they've seen of her, like, from day one. And she was like, we didn't rehearse. And it was my first day. She's like, why would anyone think that I'm going to have anything good come out of it?
Yeah.
And then he's like, you just need to, you know, you need to loosen up and relax more. And then like, and then all three or like two of the producers come and tell her like how she needs to like loosen up. And she, it's the same time she overhears the director like calling her like fat and like the fucking costume designer says this shit about her tits or whatever. And it's
she's
so,
like, hundreds of people have come up to me.
That was so fucking funny. But she starts getting like very upset and like literally you can see her spitting in the movie. Like you see spit coming out of her mouth.
Look, I saw the rushes and frankly, you're holding back.
Yes, honey, what seems to be the problem?
The problem, Simon, is that hundreds of people have had conversations with me about my low enjoyment levels and it bothered me. So I would prefer to receive direction solely from you.
Really? Hundreds of people? That shouldn't be. I'll have a word with them.
I mean, we're talking about one day of work here. A day in which I was tied to a cactus and assaulted by snakes. As if I were a child. Maybe I should give them my mother's phone number and she could come in and stand by and make sure I'm relaxed.
That's it. That's her. That's the character. That's the quality I've been looking for. Now, what you're doing. Do you see?
But Simon, this is not relaxed. This is incredibly upset.
Okay, people, this will be picture.
This is exactly what criticism feels like. When people are like, no, I'm trying to help you. And they're just like, they say it at the worst time. They just completely diminish your... And then they act like they've said something very helpful and that's not going to affect you whatsoever and that you need to just carry on as normal. And it's like, wait, what the fuck? Like, I can't, no, like, this isn't, what? Yeah. It was so, I just thought that scene, I loved that scene. Because it was like, I mean, I hated it too because it felt so, I was like,
it's pretty visceral.
So, I was like, this is so accurate. And it was like, you know, I could like feel it in my chest, but I mean, I definitely recommend. I think all the performances are really good.
I loved the scene with Annette Bening. I don't know what it was. I was like, oh my God, this is...
I liked it because it was so... Like... it was just... It was one of those things about honesty. Like, she didn't believe a rumor. She went directly to the person. And she's like, okay, tell me if this happened. And then that person is talking to her about it. And then they're having a discussion about it.
Yeah.
And they're not friends. They're not going to be friends. No. They don't like each other. But they're not, they're having a discussion about this thing. And even though it doesn't technically pass the Bechdel test. It's still like such a great scene of like two women like having a an open discussion about someone they both slept with and being really open to each other about what they've like, because she's like, did he give you this line? Did he give you this line? You know, she's like, no. And then she's like, he uses this one too. And she's like, oh yeah, he used that one on me. She's like, see, it's fine. Like, she's like, he's using new material on you. She's like, don't even worry about it. It's totally fine. And I was like, oh, that's great, because she's not lying about it. She's not like, oh yeah, nothing. Like, there's no lying. There's no bullshitting. She's just like, oh, you know, yeah, I really liked that scene. I thought that was really good. And of course, Annette Bening, like, she's got so much chops that I never realized.
Yeah, man.
When I was like, oh my God, she's so versatile, and you would not think that she can be, but she's absolutely is. Anyway, I liked all of the performances well.
She was sisters-in-law with Shirley MacLaine.
Later, she wasn't yet, I don't think. But, which, that's, well, whatever.
Yep.
Sorry, I definitely. Ned?
Yeah, that's what I said in the...
Oh, no you offense. Said, you know, offense, Ned Beatty, yeah. They're not related, are they? Are they related? Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, shit. This isn't another... Richard E.
Right. But that's, like... Which one's Ned Beatty again?
He played Roseanne's dad on the series.
Oh.
Not to be confused with M. Emmett Walsh, which I always do.
Yeah. M. Emmett. God, I wish I had an M&M. She was eating M&M's in the movie at some point, or she had like a bag of M&M's in the movie at some point. I wish I had, yeah. Those chocolate wafers that you got were so good.
God damn it.
They were so good. Man, wafer cookies are just sublime. Even the cheapest, I feel like
we've been
kind.
On the,
yeah.
Especially since Tacos Blancos became in the rotation.
Yeah.
We've been doing a lot of revisiting.
Yeah.
Childhood.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Food. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Boys at Oh, and Cap'n Crunch. Remember we got that?
Yeah. I still got some Cap'n Crunch left.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I keep forgetting it's there. Cause
they don't seem to be related, I don't think.
Okay.
Although he has 8 children.
To explain Tacos Blancos, what we do is we, at my insistence, we have like, it's basically white people tacos, which is why it's called Tacos Blancos. But it's like the most basic shit, like white people American quote unquote tacos. We do use soft shell. I know a lot of people prefer hard shell. I don't like hard shell. But
and flour tortilla.
Yeah, corn. Flour tortilla. Yeah, I don't really like corn tortillas very much. I'll eat a Dorito. I'll eat a corn chip. But I don't want to have a meal with any kind of corn thing in it. I like, well, whatever. Anyway.
Beatty was not related to fellow Hollywood star Warren Beatty, also born in 1937. When asked if they were related, Beatty had been known to joke that Warren was his illegitimate uncle.
That's funny. That's a joke I'll make. Yeah, right. Yeah, so we just like use like paste picante salsa and like iceberg lettuce and, you know, black olives and
taco seasoning.
Taco seasoning, that's very important on just, you know, vegan crumble or whatever. And then we just
canned
refried beans. We and just like just eat a fucking.
So what distinguishes this from how I personally would make tacos for us or any kind of
yes
is Mexican adjacent food
is because Keith is a good cook.
Well, that's nice of you to say, but I would not use a seasoning packet.
No,
I would not use iceberg lettuce.
No.
Sometimes I use canned beans because
Because they're delicious.
Those are the big ones.
Yeah,
black olives, but that's kind of just. In the rotation now.
For us. We like olives in this house. In this house, we like olives.
In this house?
Well, also, you use vegetable. Like, you make, like, know, you fry up onion, mushroom, and peppers, or whatever we have.
For a while, we would make fajitas.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, you'll use whatever, you know, but
I was attempting to make something more, quote, authentic.
Yeah.
I would probably insist on. I personally would want to use corn.
I know you would. I know how you are.
To make a street taco or style or whatever.
I've had.
And do my own seasoning.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And the thing is, when Keith does stuff like that, it always tastes really good. Like there's no issue with it. But there's something about having like a cheap ass tasting taco. It's so rewarding. Yep. It's really, just like
I hate that it's the case, but
I know.
And man. It's taken until this year, really, for me to really accept that I've done so much to try to recreate certain things, and really, iceberg lettuce was the thing that was missing.
Yeah, yep, and it's upsetting. Yeah, because here's the thing. This is a thing that was always confusing to me. Is people would be like. Iceberg lettuce is trash. Iceberg lettuce doesn't taste good. And I'm like, but the thing is,
you're wrong.
Well, does other lettuce taste good? I mean, like, the most you get from other kinds of like romaine and whatever is that it
tastes more.
It can be more bitter.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And that's
basically, I think it's, again, like everything else. First of all, oh, man, this is a rabbit hole.
I'm just going to say, iceberg lettuce is great for padding a salad.
Yeah.
Like,
right. It's the baby's breath.
Exactly. Right. You can add a bunch in there, and it's not going to take anything out of the flavor, but it's going to add more lettuce. It's going to, you're just going to have like
you don't
more.
Want a, I don't want a salad where that's all it is or the dominant green.
Absolutely not. No. But you could add it. And you know what? It's great on tacos. I don't need fancy lettuce for tacos. I'm fine with like, I don't know how much it would cost now. It used to be like 99 cents for a head of lettuce. Now it's probably like $14.87.
That's about right.
And, you know, you buy one real cheap and then you slice it up for a week and a half and then you got taco lettuce.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. You got nostalgia for taco lettuce. Anyway, this is a pretty good movie. Speaking of taco lettuce.
It's got an interesting structure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which apparently the book does too, but different. But I feel like it doesn't really have sort of a three-act thing.
No, yeah, it doesn't much. Really.
I mean, you get sort of a resolution. I didn't need the song at the end. I mean, yeah, no one whatever. Did. But, you know, like that's her, that's the
character.
That's her doing her thing.
Yeah. Apparently Meryl Streep was the singer.
Yeah, singing it, but I don't know if it was Academy Awards or what, but apparently Reba sang it.
Yeah, because Meryl Streep was Prego's.
With her fourth child.
Yeah, I can't comment on that.
Why not?
Because
you might be the father?
Well, yeah. I signed an NDR.
NDR?
Right? Wait, no. Wait, what's the non-disclosure?
Non-do not resuscitate.
NDA. Non-disclosure agreement. DNR, yeah. I was getting DNR and NDA confused. You got it. You knew what I meant.
Not don't resuscitate. That's what I got. You thinking about not resuscitating? Don't do it.
Oh, fuck.
I'm almost sad that, like, Carrie Fisher wasn't in it, you know?
I know. I honestly expected her to be in it.
Apparently her photo is in the...
Yeah.
When they're in the agent's office. Good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I guess Debbie Reynolds really wanted to play the part, which I like. I was like, that's really cool that her mom wasn't
was
like...
Was that narcissistic?
She didn't feel attacked by it because it wasn't actually a portrayal of her.
Yeah.
And she thought it would be fun to play it. And I think that that's I think that's cool. I don't know. I was just like, oh, that's nice. She wasn't like pissed at her daughter or hated her daughter. You know, wasn't anything like that. So I don't know. I just looked up. I thought that was cool. I could hear you smile.
Mouth noises.
Sorry to everyone.
No, also apparently Janet Leigh wanted her to be Jamie her Lee and curses. Jamie Lee curses. Oh shit, I'd watch that channel. I want it now, and that's how I want it to stay. What was that interview? Do you remember that interview she did?
Oh, that's a Disney.